Galactic Interstellar Council on Revolution Radio Studio A, Fridays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we traverse the starseed paradigm, as expressed in the time-space continuum that we know as the divine expression of love and light. Integrating this conscious unity into the galactic paradigm. So welcome all, both terrestrial beings and galactic beings as one. So be it. You're listening to Revolution Radio.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Any commercial advertising you may hear in this program is of the sole discretion and benefit of the host of whose program you are listening to. Revolution Radio does not endorse any commercial products, nor does it accept monetary compensation for on-air advertising of commercial products, nor will it ever. We are and shall remain 100% listener supported. Any product advertising on this program are considered used at buyer risk, and Revolution Radio shall not be held liable for any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Well, there are ongoing developments in Ukraine, where Russia is launching massive missile attacks against a NATO weapons base in western Ukraine. Reportedly, 180 mercenaries and officers are dead. They're using drones they obtained from Iran, which is fascinating development I really like. Long ago, I traveled to Buenos Aires. This would be 2008 and 2009 to give lectures about JFK and 9/11. The second time, I was invited to be the keynote speaker at an international symposium on 9/11 Truth and Justice, which was held in the National Library of the Republic of Argentina. Unlike the United States, the Argentines have respect for scholars and intellectuals who are making contributions to the public good, which they celebrate. Here in the United States, you're condemned and attacked, even sued if you speak the truth. They want to discount those of us who are engaging in serious research on false flags and other state events to protect their political agenda. It has nothing to do with the quality of the work that we are producing, where I have championed collaborative research on JFK, 9/11, Wellstone, San Diego, the Boston bombing, and more. I get more respect from Argentina than I do from the United States. Indeed, Greece. I was flown with my wife, all expense paid, to Athens, Greece. This was back in December of 2006, to be put on a television program that was scheduled for 3 hours. Going in, they said how they had 12 panelists, but normally only a few speak. I said, not tonight. I was absolutely right. They had fabulous clips from 9/11. In fact, the producer, who is a leading muckraker in Greece, who'd been responsible for bringing down various Greek governments, extended the show for an extra half an hour, where it was broadcast worldwide by satellite. So it would appear those of us who are doing serious research on 9/11 may have to go as far as Athens, Greece, or Buenos Aires, Argentina, to get a modicum of respect for our research, which is absolutely spot on. The upgraded Russian missile attack has taken place here in terms of intelligence and military methodology. They're hitting facilities in multiple cities, Russia used a trick to discover where Western weapons were being stored. As soon as the coordinates had arrived, they launched a missile attack with swarms of Shahed 136 Gurun 2 kamikaze missiles. That means these drones destroy themselves in the process of their attacks. You have, of course, alternatives. You have killer drones that fire missiles. You have surveillance drones. These are kamikaze drones. According to information from War News 247, Moscow has upgraded Iranian drones by adding a GLONASS signal receiver for precision strikes. This is, in my opinion, very, very good. Ukrainians are trying with flashlights to see in the darkness as these attacks, if they could manage to shoot them down. But Russia's armed forces targeted key infrastructure in a series of raids, mostly with these kamikaze drones in and around Kiev. The hammering continues for multiple nights in a row. They've damaged energy infrastructure, causing interruption in electricity and heating, the mayor has announced. There's a lot of commotion in the region and the capital drone attacks at night, he said via telegram. Russia sent several waves of Shahids. Critical infrastructure were targeted. The anti-aircraft defense is in the works. Stay in the shelters. Air defense green for over 6 hours. An ammunition production plant in Kiev was hit. Meanwhile, Zelensky, who the Democrats celebrate as a great hero of democracy, has expanded the crackdown on the Ukrainian media. Zelensky signed a bill into law strengthening government control over public access to news in Ukraine. He'd already nationalized the country's media under martial law powers invoked after Russia's invasion, stoking criticism from press freedom groups. Signed on December 29th, the law expands the Ukrainian broadcast regulator powers over news agencies dramatically, now including both print and online sources. The measure requires publication to obtain licenses to operate. Any media organization without the proper paperwork can be shut down, adding that the body handing out the permits is under Zelensky's control. While his power grabs throughout the 11-month conflict have largely gone unnoticed in the American mainstream press, which, of course, is dominated by Israel, how many times have I reported having a panel of 100 executives from CNN, all of whom are dual U.S.-Israeli citizens, a panel of 100 executives from NBC, all of whom are dual U.S.-Israeli citizens, another panel of 100 executives from the New York Times, every one of whom is a dual U.S.-Israeli citizen. The New York Times highlighted calls from human rights group to rescind the law over fears it'll crush a free press. That's a gesture. That's a symbolic gesture. The Times, like the mainstream media, is completely under Zionist control. Ukraine will demonstrate its European commitment by promoting a free and independent media, not by establishing state control of information, said Ricardo Guterres, Secretary General for the European Federation of Journalists. The Committee to Protect Journalists and Other Civil Rights Orgs also slammed the legislation while it was being debated by lawmakers in December. While Ukraine's legislature agreed to strip away some of the bill's more extreme measures, the final draft still hands the federal government near total control over Ukraine's news media. We have, of course, the ongoing development in Washington, D.C., where while the Republicans are taking over the House, there's a series of debates as to who's going to lead the chamber. All eyes are on the election, where leader Kevin McCarthy, the GOP conference's nominee, seeks to make an official and lock in the vote. He's having a hard time, however, fighting off a band of rebels working to prevent him from ascending to the position. Now, bear in mind, he must have 218 votes in the chamber. That's just one more than half. But the Democrats control so many because the Republicans only have a few seat edge. The fact that there are 10 or more Republicans who are happy with McCarthy means he can't ascend to the speakership without getting the 218, and they're able to block him. Although Jim Jordan, whom I regard as a masterful guy, a real leader in the House of Representatives. In my opinion, he'd be a magnificent speaker, though it appears he would prefer to be the head of the House Judiciary Committee, is being nominated, notwithstanding that Jordan himself nominated Kevin McCarthy. Thus, to win, the speaker must earn a majority of votes who are present and voting for a person, nominated or not. Now notice, of those who are present, any absences or present votes lowers the threshold by a half vote below what full House attendance, 435 members, would require to achieve such a majority, which is 218. Since one Democrat died in late November, the late Representative Donald McEachin of Virginia, the number is already down to at most 434 for full attendance and could drop lower if more Democrats don't show up or vote present. If all the other Democrats show up, it would still require 218 to elect a speaker, and Democrats have said they will be at full attendance. While McCarthy's team is confident he'll get there, it's possible he might not. He did not get the majority on the first ballot. They conducted a second ballot. He still did not have a majority. And while there were 19 who voted against him in the first round, that increased to 20 on the second. That's moving in the wrong direction. One of McCarthy's top critics, Matt Gaetz, has said it might not be until the cherry blossoms bloom in the mid to late winter at the end of March or beginning of April that a speaker is elected. Now, my dear friend Rolf Lindgren, who's frequently appeared on the show, very active now in Republican politics, has reminded me that there was a case in the past where they went over 100 votes to select the Speaker of the House, over 100 ballots. While that would be a far-fetched scenario, chaos is certainly a possibility, or everything could go smoothly for McCarthy. In fact, Donald Trump has just called for supporting McCarthy, but I do not believe that the Republicans who are upset with a mild-mannered way in which the Republican Party has been dealing with major issues with the Biden administration, including insufficient opposition to these massive spending bills that are like a wet dream list for the Democrats, which they sought to get in place before they left office. Nor, of course, the shenanigans where there's so much to investigate, including about January 6th, where now released documents show that Nancy Pelosi's team was working behind the scene to work on the weakened security for January 6th, and how she'd invited a film crew to be there that day as though she knew something big were going to take place. And, of course, we all know Trump on the 4th had volunteered to send 5,000 National Guard troops to provide security, which the speaker declined. Remember, she's in charge of the Capitol Police. The massive doors to the Capitol, which are magnetically sealed, could only have been opened from the inside. Following live updates, we're going to see what happens. The minority really, I think, is gravitating toward Jim Jordan. We have this guy, Hakeem Jeffries, who's a Democrat, lead Democrat. He's the minority leader. Of course, I mean, under a bizarre scenario, he could theoretically be voted to be speaker, but it would be outrageous. Here's Jake Sherman tweeting. In a private meeting yesterday, Gaetz, Boebert, Perry told McCarthy they want their own legal entity in the House to wage lawsuits. The group also told McCarthy they don't mind if the speaker vote goes to plurality and Representative Jeffries is elected because they'll fight him. Jake Sherman again. This should be read as McCarthy trying to isolate the conservatives further to the conference. Will it work? Who knows? They can block McCarthy. But KM is vowing to go the distance and try to wear them down. We'll see interesting days coming up. Moreover, McCarthy has made serious concessions to his critics. They're now proving they're not interested in taking the wins, but instead, according to this account, burning it down. I don't believe that. Again, big applause as McCarthy lists all the concessions he's made to the right and says that HFC members don't care if they elect Representative Jeffrey Speaker. He's rallying the conference against the HFC. This is something even Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene, whom I admire beyond words, has called them out over, insisting they're not interested in governing, but chaos. Here's a very interesting piece by Vernon Coleman I want to share with you, anticipating what's going to happen in 2023. He doesn't have a crystal ball. He doesn't have microphones planted in the World Economic Forum. He doesn't have Bill Gates on speed dial. He knows exactly what's going to happen because since 2020, when the lies first began and governments all around the world were singing the same words to the same gloomy dirge, the conspirators have been following a ruthless and evil program of deceit, deception, and fear. Thus, we can anticipate more deceit, deception, and fear, no doubt. In the true tradition of baddies such as Ernst Stavro Blofeld of James Bond fame, the conspirators want to take over the world. It's all about power and money. They want all the remaining oil for themselves. They claim, he says, it's running out, but of course that's not true. It's naturally produced by Earth. But they do want to keep their obscene super yachts moving. They also want enough fuel for planes and bombing foreigners. He's talking about the oil shortage being eternal and getting worse, but that's based upon false beliefs. Extra taxes on oil mean that exploration is halting. Biden is doing that. Banks won't support companies looking for more oil. They use policies on tankers, and their insurance mean the worldwide flow of oil will be hampered. The EU, remember, was always a conspirator's first step toward an unelected, brutal world government. Those who support the EU are collaborators of the very worst kind. As Russian oil disappears from the market, other producers will have ever more power, and the price of oil will go up and up and up. The conspirators, helped by discredited organizations like YouTube and the BBC, created global warming as an excuse to stop us from traveling. The plans are progressing well. The UK government was recently advised by climate change cultists in Oxford and the inevitable Imperial College that by 2030, all airports in the UK must close except Heathrow, Glasgow, and Belfast. And by 2050, the three remaining must go. Until then, access to airports must be by rail only. In Oxford, which now seems to me to be the world center for insanity born of tyranny, citizens are being locked into community prisons for most of the year. Check it all out if you don't believe me. Presumably, only the conspirators, politicians, and climate change cultists will be allowed to travel. And as I warned you the best part of 3 years ago, in a video entitled A Population Control Plan, published on May 16th of 2020, taken down very quickly. They want to reduce the world's population. We all know. The transcripts in my book, COVID-19, The Greatest Hoax in History, contain the scripts of all my videos except the very first. The deliberately created food and fuel shortages are all part of their ruthless genocidal master plan. The designer war, which we haven't quite declared against Russia, means that Western farmers are denied access to fertilizer. Remember, 28% of the global supply comes from Russia and Ukraine. That, on top of soaring costs of fuel and heavy-handed government action, means thousands of farms are being closed. The Dutch, for example, just closed 3,000 working farms to please occultists who claim they're worried we might have slightly better summers occasionally. The absurd rewilding schemes whereby bison, boar, wolves, beaver, and wildcats are introduced into the countryside where they've never been before are aimed at forcing people out of the countryside into the towns, as well as forcing food prices ever higher and ensuring that most people eat food made in laboratories. All those bison wandering around won't do fields of cabbage or solar panels much good. People don't notice what's happening because they're misled by the distractions and misdirections. The conspirators are like conjurors. They use feeble-minded, narcissistic exhibitionists like Mr. Harry and Ms. Meghan to distract the feeble-minded masses. Fake rows about race and sexism are created to distract and divide. A world considered unsuitable becomes a life-changing assault, but only if it goes one way. Meanwhile, racism against white males seems to continue unabated. A white man who applied for a job with West Yorkshire Police was apparently told he wasn't suitable because they were hiring only women and ethnic minorities. Turn that around and see how it sounds. How many double woke lefties would start screaming as West Yorkshire Police were announced it wasn't recruiting women or non-white males or only recruiting non-Jews or only recruiting heterosexuals? Race campaigners will take down a statue, but I haven't seen them complaining about hundreds of millions starving to death in Africa and Asia because of massively high food and fuel prices. Europe, while pretending to be very green and committed to net zero, is importing huge quantities of chopped up trees to burn to make electricity and being supplied with liquefied natural gas being imported from the United States in huge diesel-powered tankers. And within Europe, 573 billion euros of taxpayer money has been spent on keeping energy prices affordable. That sort of money isn't available in Africa or Asia. The next problem for Europe is that the gas storage tanks were filled with Russian gas long ago. That isn't going to happen before next winter. Moreover, Chinese imports of LNG gas were low because of their crazy zero COVID policies. When those end, the Chinese will be buying up all the gas. If you think this winter is bad for prices and feeling cold, wait until next. Digitalization, compulsory vaccination, and a global social credit program are part of the plan to control everything we do. The enemy will keep the fear levels as high as they can with starvation, economic collapse, wars, and endless threats of new diseases. And of course, vaccine injury deaths are classified as sudden adult death syndrome. This happened, by the way, during the Bills game. We had a collapse, I have no doubt whatsoever, just like those others who died suddenly. But because it was during a nationally televised NFL game, it's getting a whole lot of attention, and they're doing the best to conceal the facts, which include that the owner of the Bills was adamant about imposing a vaccine mandate upon his own players. They will possibly live to regret it or die before they realize what happened. They'll never blame the vaccine for anything. They'll link the vaccine to digitalization. You won't be able to do anything if you haven't had all the compulsory jabs. I warned about that years ago, as you will remember. The most important immediate fight is a battle to retain cash. The half-witted say, oh, what a pity it is the cash is disappearing, with no conception of why. Cash is the key to everything. Don't use shops or cafes that won't take cash. Just walk out. And if your local council introduces car parks where you can park only by using an app, make sure that you complain. I believe they're breaking the law, and you should appeal if you get fined. Take photos. Get witnesses. We have to fight these damn tabs. This is a moment, a truly viral battle. They want an entirely digital society. When there is no cash, they can cut off your access to your money. Look what happened to the Canadian truckers whose bank accounts were frozen because they dared to protest. Look what happened to BitChute. What's one of a limited number of platforms where truthful videos can still appear? Help Ray at BitChute if you can. There's advice on how you can help that platform. Thank you, Mark, at Earth Newspaper and all those people who put my videos on BitChute and other platforms. And try going back to Brand New Tube, which Muhammad Butt has been fighting to restore. The people who took it down, whoever they were, managed to delete and destroy a whole pile of my videos, but we managed to find backup copies. And house prices? Well, they're going down everywhere, but they'll go down most in Britain. As I pointed out in my last video, independent experts now believe house prices could go down by a third. A 300,000-pound house will be worth 200,000 pounds. Both homeowners with mortgages will be underwater. They'll owe more on their home than it's worth. Remember the WEF. You will owe nothing and be happy. And mortgage rates are going to stay high. They're never going back to where they were. Nothing is happening by accident. There are no coincidences. Everything that bad that is happening is part of a master plan. And what you know that, it's easy to see what comes next. You and I may be described as conspiracy theorists, but they are conspiracy practitioners. Every time something bad happens, just ask yourself, who benefits and how will they? and ask yourself how the conspirators stand to profit. Remember, they're a potent mixture of hypocritical left-wingers who are indistinguishable from communists and a bunch of greedy billionaire tricksters who are nothing more than raw fascists. And if you think it's strange to suggest communists would work with fascists, consider this. If politics is a straight line with communists at one end and fascists at the other, and you then turn the straight line into a circle, the communists and the fascists stand side by side because their aims and methods are indistinguishable. The conspirators and their handmaidens, collaborators, people such as politicians, academic broadcasters, government advisors, newspaper editors, and the medical establishment will tell you inflation will soon be under control, interest rates will go back to nothing, food and fuel prices will be normal again, and we have nothing to worry about except the cultist's hysterical and nonsensical claims the Eiffel Tower will be entirely underwater by a week next Wednesday, and that the Statue of Liberty will have melted by the following Tuesday. Net zero is the most chilling piece of legislative nonsense ever created. Worse than China's insane net COVID policy, which is, of course, deliberately designed to improve compliance with a tyrannical social credit system. The medical establishment has thrown itself behind massive vaccination campaigns and the climate change myth. Look at history. You'll see the medical establishment is nearly always wrong. If anyone from the medical establishment dared to debate that statement, I'd be happy to do so, but they won't because they know I'm right, and they are all gutless bastards. The truth is that man-made global warming does not exist, and even if their worst prediction were based on fact instead of fantasy, one of it would matter a damn. The world isn't going to catch fire. The sea isn't going to evaporate. None of their threats is real. And the real proof, as with vaccination, is they won't debate climate change. No discussion is allowed. The media, such as a discredited BBC, have banned all discussion and questioning of vaccination. And they pretty well banned all discussion of global warming. They pretend these issues are accepted, but they're only accepted by the conspirators.
Take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Hey everyone, it's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Amazon banned my book so you wouldn't learn what really happened at Sandy Hook. It was a FEMA drill presented as mass murder to promote gun control. Then they sued to shut me up, and the Wisconsin courts played along. I have the proof and the law on my side. What I don't have is the money. They want to do to us what they've already done to Canada. Take guns, impose tyranny. It's on the way with Remington's help. First insurance, then registration, then confiscation. I'm asking SCOTUS to stop it. GiveSendGo.com, funding Fetzer. Check it out. This is for all the marbles.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
Radio every Wednesday 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, I'm going to be acutely disappointed if we don't connect with John Kaminsky, because he's one of the sharpest pencils in the box, a really smart guy. We don't have him here yet. I'd sent him the phone number to call in. We're searching for him on Skype. I've emailed him to see if we can't connect. In the meanwhile, I shall continue and look forward to his joining us soon. The world is awash with masses of evidence proving that vaccines do more harm than good, but the establishment continues to deny that such evidence even exists. There's absolutely no doubt that COVID-19 jabs do massively more harm than good, but doctors and nurses keep on giving them, deliberately poisoning their patients and being paid for it. And patients who need blood transfusion and ask for unvaxxed blood are abused by doctors and nurses. Indeed, parents who ask for their children to be given unvaxxed blood are likely to have their children taken away from them or to watch them die as a consequence. It's all about money. Drug companies are making billions out of vaccines. Doctors are making millions out of giving vaccinations. The climate change industry is a commercial scam, just like AIDS. And there are huge numbers of people making big money out of it. The billions being demanded in reparation payments will be siphoned off by climate change crooks and pressure groups. 9 million Britons of working age are not working or looking for work. They are tired of work. And I'm pleased to say John, you are here, my friend. I'm just so joyful to have you on the air with me, my friend John. Go for it.
I tried three or four numbers. I finally got through. I want to know how you can talk like that for half an hour without breathing.
That's what they asked. Doesn't he have time to take a deep breath? John, I'm very keen on having your assessment of how things stand, not only right here in the USA, but worldwide, including Russia, Ukraine, the whole bit, the World Economic Forum, the Great Reset. Just go for it, my friend.
I have a different way of dividing the Congress rather than Democrats or Republicans. I like to divide the Congress in this way, and I want you to tabulate the vote total for me. Divide the Congress by who in the Congress still believes that Arab terrorists caused the problem on 9/11. That's the vote on that.
That's great, John. I love it. Yeah, we're fed so much bullshit. JFK, 9/11, Wellstone, Sandy Hook, and more. You make a devastating point. And, of course, go ahead.
I saw a great one just the other day. Mike King of the Great Tomato Bubble, who's now Real History, had a great story yesterday about William McKinley and his vice president, whose name I think was Hobart. Hobart died of somewhat natural causes, a heart attack, I think. And they named Theodore Roosevelt the vice president. They appointed Theodore Roosevelt the vice president in the same way they appointed Nelson Rockefeller once upon a time. And of course, after McKinley's assassination, Theodore Roosevelt became president and then complicated the following election as well. But it reminded me, Theodore Roosevelt reminded me of having the same track record as Barack Obama, of somebody who was appointed, shoehorned through by rich Jews, and manipulated all the way to the presidency. And this is the same way Barack Obama came around. And it's like our history books certainly don't reflect that. But we have, as my former partner Mike Gatti would tell us, we've had a Jewish problem since Alexander Hamilton, and we haven't really had the free republic that we've been told we had. And we certainly don't have it now. So I don't know what this grandstanding is about Kevin McCarthy, but as evidenced by my opinion of the way you should split the real factions in the Congress now, we only have one party. And it really doesn't matter which one of these shills is in charge, with the possible exception of Thomas Massie, who is like the new Ron Paul now, of the person who votes against the other 434 members. So, you know, it's like... I know you feel the same way. It's a totally frustrating thing where we don't have a representative government. We haven't had one in our lifetimes, and maybe we've never had one because the government is owned by the people who have the money. And the people who have the money are the Federal Reserve, who are the Jews who create the money. And we've invented all this money now, which practically means nothing. We're being deserted by the entire world. From Saudi Arabia on down, we're being abandoned justifiably because we are the perpetrators of evil in the world. And you put a footnote on that a major reason, not a complete reason, but a major reason that we are in that position is because we're not controlled by Americans. And it looks like we never have been, going back to the Continental Congress, where we were controlled by England. England got everything they wanted. And it's like Americans have never run their own country, which is why all these rich people have come in, commandeered everything, eaten up all the land. They're eating up more of it now. And we don't have a representative government. And there's only one solution to that. And that is something that we're all afraid to hear, which is we need to throw these guys out physically.
Well, John, I have a lot of audience members who are going to agree 100%. The only exception I would make is that Trump, I think, upset the apple cart and antagonized establishmentarians on both sides by executing a hostile takeover of the Republican Party and turning it into a populist party, really something unprecedented. As a consequence, when he came to office, really wanting to, I actually, in his phrase, believe it, make America great again. He was opposed even by appointees in his own administration, even by his chief of staff. Melania has recently acknowledged, or shall we say, her press secretary has reported her disillusionment with Mark Meadows, for example. But even William Barr, Bill Barr, who for a time I thought was a good guy, stabbed Trump in the back, claiming there was no evidence of election fraud, for example, when he hadn't even bothered to investigate. Trump, of course, made us energy independent. He closed the borders. He made us a robust economy. The lowest earning wage earners were seeing their wages rise at the highest rate. We had before the midterm a massive shift to the right because of Trump. Hispanics were moving right. Catholics were moving right. John, even white suburban women who represent 20% of the electorate were moving to the right. And they were reporting they liked Trump better than they did Biden, which in my opinion is not a tough choice. I think if it were not for the manufacture of these elections, Dominion machines and fudging on the voter registration rolls and sending out massive ballots to the wrong address and then getting them back in order to submit them in order to benefit the Democrat candidate, where, you know, in Maricopa County, I don't think the world has ever seen such a grotesque sham election. And when you have the courts not willing to straighten out, that's when we're in deep doo-doo, no doubt whatsoever. But I do count Trump as an exception. Otherwise, of course, I think you're making impeccable points that there's an awful lot of commonality between the political elite on both the right and the left.
We can't get right without recognizing the true perpetrators of 9/11. And it's crystal clear when you see Israeli lovers in every step of the process that took place, from the planning to the planning of the explosives to the sending the five Jews to observe the activities the day before 9/11 or the days before 9/11, the deployment of FEMA before the actual act, the numerous mistakes by the media of saying Tower 6 fell 20 minutes before it actually did. There's so many things, and we have been hung up lately in a kerfuffle, you might call it, about the planes, no planes argument. And that is like a total distraction. I mean, everybody is so fired up about enforcing their view of the technical aspects of what we saw on television and in person, totally missing the point. Everybody's really eager to do that, arguing ad infinitum about the trivialities of all the details. And nobody is willing to start talking about Frank Lowy and Larry Silverstein and Philip Zelikow and Michael Chertoff and all of these guys. Actually, you began the show very well with describing the Zionist supermajority and all the people who were involved in all the decisions. And this has been going on throughout the Republic, throughout the entire history of the Republic. And it's like, we don't get that message because they own the media. And I sent around the other day, a little retrospective of my early stories from 20 years ago, which you responded to. And we haven't had an honest republic all through. All the events have been spun, and they're still being spun. So there's no hope of us solving the problem under conventional means, where it's like you can't replace a few congressmen and change the direction of the country as long as the 13 Jewish families on the Federal Reserve. Forget about it. Nothing's going to happen. Nothing has happened, except the taxes get larger. The invasions get more frequent, and the greatest shame for me to be an American today is that the general run of Americans has been so miseducated and are so stupid that they would support the Ukraine when they knew full well that we went in there and arranged a revolution 8 years ago and started pouring in all the crimes we could think of, supported by all the politicians we could think of in the Ukraine as a direct aim at Russia, and now the media is up in arms about Russia trying to defend itself. And I'm not trying to defend Russia, but I'm just trying to defend any country that's been invaded by the United States. How can people go to work every day and know that their country has it deliberately invaded all of these countries on the basis of lies and still think of themselves as good people? They're not good people. Americans are not good people. They're accessories to mass murder every day, constantly. And because they've done that for so long, now the guns are aimed at themselves. And we've got millions of people dead, including that defensive back on Monday night, who dropped dead in his tracks. And the Jewish media is trying to spin it as, oh, he had a heart attack. Oh, it was a hard hit. Oh, he's dead. He was dead 10 seconds after he fell. And they've got him in the hospital. They got his blood flowing, but his brain isn't doing anything, and it never will. So we are being deceived. And this Buffalo Bills defensive back is a harbinger of the future of all of us, where we are going to be, we're in the process of being exterminated, and they're going to lie about what's really happening to us. That's where we're at, and you know that. You've described that many times yourself.
Well, John Stockton, the brilliant NBA point guard, has pointed out that hundreds, actually thousands of athletes have just dropped dead. Now, these are individuals who are physically in the prime of their life. This has never happened before. It's absolutely unprecedented. And I think this event, because it was in a nationally broadcast playoff game, is having a major impact. A lot of people are pondering what the hell is going on. Where I checked, and the owner of the Bills had mandated that all of his players had to have the vax. So I'm with you 100% on that score. I also agree that the two most prominent, at least the most widely noted in the press, 9/11 movements, namely Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth and Judy Wood and her dues group, both disavow discussing who is responsible and why, claiming that we have to know how it was done before we can do that, as though we couldn't walk and chew gum at the same time. It's only scholars for 9/11 Truth, which I founded in 2005, that have pointed out the Israeli role here, where Bibi Netanyahu and Ehud Olmert appear to have been the brain trust behind 9/11 back in the 1980s to envision a way to draw American military forces into the Middle East to take out the modern Arab states that served as a counterbalance to Israel's domination of the entire region. Thus, my second book on this subject, America Nuked on 9/11, Compliments of the CIA, the Neocons in the Department of Defense and the Mossad, nails down exactly the role of Larry Silverstein, the Port Authority. These are all prominent Zionists transferring to private property just 6 weeks before, where Silverstein fired the security firm that had looked after the tower since it was first opened in 1970, hired an Israeli firm to provide security, renegotiated insurance coverage. So he had an anti-terrorist clause. And then when there are ostensibly two planes, he claimed two attacks, double indemnity, pocketed $4.5 billion on a $114 million investment. Now, where I disagree is on the no planes issue. Two of those planes, John, 11 North Tower and 77 Pentagon, were not even in the air that day. And the other two, 93 Shanksville and 175 South Tower, were still in the air after they had allegedly crashed in Shanksville or hit the South Tower. Pilots for 9/11 Truth tracked them and discovered that Flight 93 was over Champaign, Urbana, Illinois, after it had ostensibly crashed in Shanksville, and that Flight 175 was over Harrisburg and Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, after it had officially hit the South Tower, where I tracked down FAA registration records showing the planes, the actual physical airplanes used for those two flights, were not even deregistered or taken out of service until 28 September 2005. So how can planes that weren't even in the air have crashed on 9/11, and how can planes that crashed on 9/11 have still been in the air 4 years later? I think those are devastating critiques, John. And I did an interview with Admiral with General Albert Stubblebine, U.S. Army retired, who had been in charge of all U.S. military signals, including photographic intelligence, about all the proof I had about the four different crash sites having been fabricated and faked. And General Stubblebine not only agreed with me, but offered additional reasons why I was right. So I believe there's actually there the opportunity to do a devastating demolition job on the official narratives. Now, pilots for 9/11 Truth have done absolutely stellar work. They established that the from the video of Flight 175 approaching the South Tower, that was traveling too fast to be structurally possible. In other words, that plane would have come physically apart in the air. Then you have the impossible entry because there are no collision effects between this Boeing 767 and a massive 500,000-ton steel and concrete building, where if you count the number of frames, and we've done it in different videos, the Hazard Connie and the Evan Fairbanks, which is looking straight upward, the plane passes its entire length into this massive building in the same number of frames it passes its entire length in air, which makes sense only if the 500,000-ton steel and concrete building provides no more resistance to the trajectory of an aircraft in flight than air, which is obviously right. Absurd on its face. And we have all kinds of confirmation. For example, there's no debris beneath the facades that were allegedly penetrated by these planes. No bodies, no seats, no luggage, no tail, no wings. And an engine that was found at Church and Murray was a planted engine. It was inadequated, not then in current use. It was sitting on the sidewalk, which was undamaged, beneath a steel scaffolding and a canopy. I mean, they've gone out of their way to fake all this happy horseshit, John, and you're absolutely right. The media won't touch it, but the evidence, the truth is out there.
Jim, we've been through all this the past couple of weeks ad nauseum with this so-called debate we've had. I have to note, though, they couldn't find any. It's like we weren't allowed to look for any aircraft debris, but they did find the two black boxes. That was real convincing, about as convincing as Suquamish passport. So we've been through all this the past couple of weeks. The people who are arguing the government's point of view are not going to quit. I hope they're being paid very well. But what I wanted to get with you in the conversation about that everybody should hear is the Rich Hall hypothesis, what it was, how it's feasible, and why did he quit the debate? Was he forced to recant?
Well, what John's talking about here is Richard Hall from the UK did brilliant work on Flight 175 and advanced the hypothesis that of the three alternative explanations, CGI, video compositing, and the projection of a hologram, that the hologram hypothesis was superior in its explanatory power, with which I agree 100%. He actually had taken, there were 52 videos of that flight, about 27 or 28 were sufficiently precise that he could plot the location of the plane at different times as it was approaching the building. And what he discerned was that it's performing impossible acts, therefore it cannot be real. The question becomes, how was it done? He found a similar set of plots from NIST, which claimed to be based on radar data. He checked the source, and it didn't appear to be authentic, but he did find other radar data, military radar data. And it showed a plane approaching the building, the second tower, the south tower, but it was 1,200 feet to the right. It appears the radar didn't show the image that he had plotted because the image was only that. It wouldn't reflect radio waves because it wasn't a solid object, but the actual plane projecting the image was captured on the radar and corresponded, which not only explains the impossible speed, but it explains the impossible entry and why we had this bizarre nose-out phenomenon. Those who were watching on 9/11 know all of a sudden the network faded to black because the nose-out of the plane was coming through on the opposite side by failure of a hand-eye coordination problem. I have done massive investigation on this. I've even been sent an Australian military manual for an airborne holographic projector. And they have precisely this kind of sophisticated technique. And we all know, of course, military technology is decades ahead of what the public is allowed to know. It turns out there's a method for projecting holograms using air molecules as a transient screen, which appears to be how it was done on 9/11. Now, Richard Hall, for reasons I have no comprehension, has now disavowed his theory. But Jim Fetzer asserted, make it not then the Richard Hall's account of what happened, but Jim Fetzer's account of what happened, because I guarantee you that is how it was done. And John, yeah, you're alluding to a discussion thread in which you and I have been participating, where there are numerous shills and trolls who are trying to defend the official account of the government. But, you know, it's embarrassing. They're making such fools of themselves. Your thoughts?
Well, my denominator of this whole aspect of the 9/11 dilemma is that it's essentially irrelevant, because the planes had nothing to do with the collapse of the building. The building was brought down by explosives that everybody heard, and the Empire State Building from 1947 shows us that a plane can crash into a building and the building won't fall. Now, maybe the numerator of that fraction is that this is the only time in history, in engineering history, where a steel and glass skyscraper has collapsed due to fire. And on this day, there were at least two of them. There were at least three of them. And then, of course, there's a whole building seven question. So this brouhaha is gonna stay where it is. It's gonna continue to be a distraction from the main question of who did it, that everyone seems to be afraid to focus on. And so I would like to leave this and go to a couple of other questions that I have about you.
The timing is perfect, John, because we're just about to hit the break. So we'll pick up with those new questions when we return from the break. And I'm so delighted to have you here, my friend. I'm just ecstatic.
I'm so delighted to be partaking of basking in your reflected glory. How's that?
Oh, that's wonderful, John. I'll take it. Here we are at the break. Right back with John Kaminsky. Stand by.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out "And Nobody Died in Boston Either." Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
That the Capitol will ever treat us fairly, you are lying to yourselves. Because we know who they are and what they do. This is what they do, and we must fight back. You can torture us and bomb us. Fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening. they give. I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. But time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence at the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Not giving up. Revolution Radio.
It is no secret that the so-called mainstream media is best described as controlled propaganda. Countless news stories are either totally ignored or spun with half-truths, and because of this, essential facts and vital information are often compromised. Join Dr. Ott every Friday night on Studio B at 10 p.m. Eastern and learn why The Story Behind the Story was nominated for a Peabody Award in its second year of producing unparalleled broadcasting excellence in 1997. That is, if you really care about learning the truth.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates. You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, I'm just delighted to have John Kaminsky here, and he indicated just before the break he had other issues he'd like us to address. So, John, the floor is yours.
Well, you have rubbed shoulders with some of the great patriots of recent history in America, and I want to know what happened to a couple of them. I'm speaking specifically of Wolfgang Halbig and James Tracy, who were staunch investigators of the Sandy Hook hoax, and have disappeared from public view, and apparently after sustaining great injuries in a vocational sense to themselves. What happened to them, and what's their status today?
I wish I could give you a real positive report. Tracy was smeared and lambasted at Florida Atlantic University, principally for posting about Sandy Hook, especially a brilliant critique of the press conference held by the medical examiner Wayne Carver. That right. was incoherent, inconsistent, made no sense, or even said he hoped this didn't come crashing down on the good people at Newtown, which made no sense whatsoever if it were authentic.
It made sense to me, Jim.
It made sense to you, yeah, if you understood that it was a hoax and it did involve the whole community. This is what Sophia Smallstorn called a capstone event, where FEMA yep. comes in and they give the community big bucks. They plan it all well in advance. They even have auditions for roles. They have a script. And then the community all signs non-disclosure, you know, agreements that they're not going to blow the whistle. Some of which, by the way, have just expired at the end of the year, and we do not know whether anyone's going to take exception and be willing to speak out. But Tracy was railroaded. They got him for not signing a form about his outside activities. So here you had a tenured professor who was booted from his position for not signing a form, and 35 years of higher education at many institutions of higher learning, Kentucky, Virginia twice, North Carolina, Chapel Hill, Cincinnati, New College, University of South Florida, University of Minnesota, Duluth campus. I never heard of such a thing. It's just outrageous, totally trumped up. He was sacked from his position. He has a large family, has five kids. And my impression now is that he is, the at-home dad who's looking after the family, that his wife is keeping them afloat financially. But it's a gross abuse of justice. And really, frankly, I find it abhorrent in every possible way. And it was a Jewish community. It was a Jewish community in South Florida that put pressure, led by. Go ahead.
Well, let me interrupt with this. I just wanted to describe the shadow of this event. It speaks very poorly of the educational situation in the United States, where all colleges and universities are participating in the same scam that the mainstream media are participating in, which is not to mention anything opposed to the Jewish financiers who are keeping them all in business with all of their irrelevant curricula.
Yeah. John, you're 100% correct. It's ridiculous. When I was still on the Duluth campus, I political correctness was creeping in. I retired in 2006. And, of course, I've become virtually full-time doing conspiracy research and radio shows and creating videos and doing my best to get the truth out to the American people. I saw it was a major threat because it was constraining how you can express yourself and function as a barrier to critical thinking. And I'd spent 35 years offering courses in logic, critical thinking, and scientific reasoning. I recognized it as a menace then. But it's gone full-blown with our woke society and all the compromises taking place and the move to, on the basis of equity, to treat everyone the same. We always had this problem with social promotion in the past, where students who are lagging behind academically would nevertheless be promoted to stay with their social peers. But that was ridiculous. Now they're no longer even rewarding competence or achievement. They're actually going on about and moving students to degrees where they're abolishing, standardized tests, claiming they're racially biased because blacks don't perform as well on them as whites. But there are all kinds of explanations for that, including innate average intelligence differences that are genetic and that require evolution to repair, but also that they're from lower socioeconomic status. They have a poor background, and it's well known to sociologists and students of education that these affect academic performance. They're trying to pretend those differences don't exist and that it's only some bias in the system of education that causes them to perform poorly in comparison to whites or Asians today. And plus, in the criminal justice system, they adopt the same attitude. The overwhelming majority of crimes are committed in the United States by blacks, John. I mean, it's overwhelming. And that's why there's a greater proportion of blacks who are incarcerated. But from this liberal woke perspective, we're all performing crime at the same rate. And therefore, the higher proportion of blacks who are incarcerated is because of discrimination based on race. They're countering with discrimination based on race against whites. We now have massive anti-white racism being practiced by the Democrats, implemented by Soros-funded DAs, and upheld by woke judiciary. It is stunning and catastrophic.
Math is racist.
That's just ridiculous. I mean, you put your finger on a really key issue here.
Yeah, I wanted to get that out. And now Wolfgang was my champion when he said, "What do you mean there were no trauma helicopters at Sandy Hook?" Which is the first thing that should have happened if one student was shot.
Yeah.
And it went on from there where he was being harassed by the Connecticut State Police to tell him to keep his mouth shut. So what happened to him? He's been quiet now for a number of years.
Yeah, let me pick up on that. 1 second.
Yeah.
I know Wolfgang very well. I traveled to Newtown in 2014 with Wolfgang. He's not only a former Florida State Trooper, he's also a former U.S. Customs agent. Those are both very responsible positions. Okay. He has been a school administrator, and he's among the leading experts on school safety. Now, get this, John, you may or may not know, he got into this for the purest of reasons. He began sending FOIA requests and making phone calls to find out what happened, because he wanted to advise other school systems on what precautions they could take to make sure it didn't happen to them. And then, as you implied, he found two homicide detectives from the local precinct on his porch in a gated community in Florida telling him they were there on behalf of the Connecticut State Police. And if he didn't stop asking questions about Sandy Hook, he would be prosecuted. Well, this is about as absurd as you can do it, because Wolfgang has a tenacity of a bulldog. It did anything but turn him off. He pursued it relentlessly. He had court ordered hearings under oath where the first select man of Newtown, that's a position equivalent to mayor, occupied by a woman by the name of Patricia LaLorda, testified under oath regarding the sign "Everyone must check in," that it had not been placed by the town, but by Homeland Security. And of course, that's extraordinary, because Homeland Security shouldn't have had anything to do with it. It was confirmation that, as I and my colleagues discovered, it was a FEMA drill, where FEMA is a branch of Homeland Security, where even one of the contributors to my book, Nobody Died at Sandy Hook, where I had 13 altogether, including six PhDs, Paul Preston, who himself is a school administrator and supervised active shooting drills, was so disillusioned by what he saw broadcast from Newtown that day that he reached out to his contacts in the Obama Department of Education, all of whom confirmed to him that it had been a drill, that no students had been harmed, and that it was done to promote gun control. You would think that would make it case closed, but John, they've gone massively. They've gone after Wolfgang. They've gone after me. They've gone after Alex. Can you imagine the absurdity of having a $1 billion fine for expressing an attitude? The whole point is to make the public believe you cannot question media-supported official narratives about these events, no matter how bizarre or incongruent they are with actual evidence. So Wolfgang was just to end about Wolfgang, bring you up to date, John. He was rousted out of his home like at 3 a.m. in the morning and marched through two fields so he'd look completely disheveled when they took his mugshot, on the basis of misdemeanor warrants that wouldn't have justified any such activity that were wrongly utilized as though they were felony warrants. In other words, this is a gross abuse of a good man, Wolfgang Halbig.
They're still doing that to everybody. And that leads to the next question in sequence. And we're just skimming the surface of all of these events. I have to get in that I believe Adam Lanza never existed, but that's a subject for another time. I know your answer on this. This is maybe the most important question I'm asking. Why did they deprive you of a jury, and how has that what bearing does that have on the Supreme Court denying your efforts to prove what you say is truthful?
Well, I was sued by Lenny Posner, who is a legal fiction. He's supposed to be the parent of Noah Posner, one of the kids. But as Wayne Carver explained during that press conference that James Tracy critiqued, he said how the parents were not allowed to come into contact with the children, that they were identified by photographs. And that made sense because the children only existed in the form of photographs for virtually all of the children. There were one or two that were real kids, but even parents, it appears, were using photographs of themselves as children to be the fake Sandy Hook kids. Yeah. And what happened was, given in response to the lawsuit, I replied because I thought there would be an opportunity here to get all the evidence I'd amassed and published in the book Nobody Died at Sandy Hook, which Amazon had banned less than a month after it went on sale, even though it had sold nearly 500 copies. So I enumerated a whole lot of the evidence I had proving that nobody died at Sandy Hook. And, of course, if nobody died at Sandy Hook, then the assertions over which I was being sued that said that the death certificate, which had no file number, no state or town certification, was a fake. And by the way, I'm just describing the lawsuit. I'm enjoined by the court from reaffirming the sentences over which I was sued, which have been found to be defamatory. So this is all merely to explain the lawsuit, which otherwise is incoherent. On three different occasions, I had such sentences in the book and one in an independent blog. So I laid out all the evidence, including the FEMA manual, which I'd published in the book as Appendix A, the FBI Consolidated Crime Report for 2012, showing at the intersection of homicides or non-negligent manslaughters for Newtown in 2012, the number zero, how the official report on the shooting by the state's attorney, Stephen Sadinsky III, was a forensic failure because it did not create a causal nexus that tied the alleged shooter, Adam Lanza, to his victims and the weapons he's alleged to have used, that his fingerprints weren't on the .22 caliber rifle with which he's supposed to have shot his mother, and that of the 150 slugs they claimed to have recovered in the school, none of them could be matched to the weapon he's supposed to have used. They were, you know, AR-15 slugs, but they couldn't be said to come from his weapon specifically, so that it would have been absurd. You could not have convicted him of the crime in a court of law were it properly conducted. Now get this. Already at the scheduling conference, the judge ruled that my views about whether or not Sandy Hook happened were not relevant to the accuracy or the truthfulness of the death certificate. Can you imagine? The death certificate says the decedent died at Sandy Hook on 14 December 2012 at the elementary school of multiple gunshot wounds. How could it not be relevant if I have a mass of evidence that nobody died? But the judge just set it aside. I would eventually learn that in Wisconsin they have a summary judgment protocol that allows a judge to decide what evidence or facts are reasonable or not based upon his own subjective opinion. And if he does not believe the evidence or the facts are reasonable, he can set them aside as though they did not exist. John, this even extended to two forensic document experts who testified in support of my position. He just set them aside as well. And then the Wisconsin Court of Appeals upheld and in consecutive statements said, it is reasonable to believe Adam Lanza shot his mother, went to elementary, shot 20 kids, 6 adults, blah, blah, blah. It is unreasonable to believe it was a FEMA drill presented as mass murder to promote gun control. In other words, the courts of Wisconsin, and I carried it to the Wisconsin Supreme Court, which declined to review, accept my petition for review, all stood pat with a circuit court judge. I mean, it was outrageous. You could not have had a greater discrepancy, difference in the facts than I and the plaintiff in this case. And that means summary judgment is inapplicable. You can only have a summary judgment if there are no disputed facts. Well, the only way you got a summary judgment with no disputed facts is that the judge simply suppressed all of my evidence, all of my facts, to create a situation where there were no disputed facts by fiat, John. How bad is that? So I carried it all the way up to the Supreme Court, and this was outrageous.
I have a friend going through the same thing on a real estate issue where the judge is just he's submitted it 7 times. The judge is just completely ignoring it, and that's what they do. Well, one fact I wanted to bring out here. What's this judge's name, and what was his background that made him the perfect guy to shut you down?
Well, his name was Remington, ironically, because, yeah. We had the Remington lawsuit, where I sought to intervene, by the way, to contribute the point that there's never been a judicial determination that anybody died at Sandy Hook. There's been no such determination. And that it's all been done by stipulation or agreement or by default, as in the Alex Jones case. I'll call you back, Gregory.
Yes. Okay. That's what I wanted to get out of that. And I wanted to ask you, just as a general, the subjects you've tackled and that are all published in a series of books, of Moonrock's books, are really the defining issues of our time in terms of government corruption and keeping the public in the dark. What is the overarching lesson that you learn in each one of these traumatic processes that you wish to convey to the general public as a cautionary tale for their own future? Are you there? What happened? Hello. I've lost contact. I wonder what transpired. Can anybody hear me? Huh. Why am I not surprised? Miss Lily tells me to just keep talking. I don't know where you went, Jim, but I'm not hearing anything.
Oh, I'm sorry, John. I had my mic off. I'm very, very sorry. Yeah. Listen, the overall arching is the lesson is that we're no longer a nation of law and order, that the judiciary has been politicized, in that, you know, what has in the past made the United States distinctive among nations is that we were a nation of law and order rather than a nation ruled by men. But with this degree of politicalization of the DOJ and the judiciary, that's no longer true. We are now a banana republic, John. We no longer have that trait that made us distinguished among all nations on planet Earth. We ain't that country any longer.
I reflected that about Joe Biden. First of all, I disagree that we had an honest election that ousted Trump from office. But everything Joe Biden has done has been at odds with the right decision that a normal president, if there ever was such a thing, would have done for the welfare of his country. Biden has done exactly the opposite. We have no law enforcement operation, law enforcement apparatus in the country because they don't prosecute crimes. They only prosecute innocent people who are trying to defend the principles of a republic. And this has been completely reversed. And the most disturbing fact about this is that the public, gulled into believing all these things by a totally corrupt Israeli media, has gone along with it. So the American people are accessories to the destruction of their own country, and probably, if we get World War III like Biden wants, of the whole world.
Yeah, you're right in a broad sense. Except the American people don't know what's going on because of the control of the media by the Zionist brigade. So you're 100% correct about it. But it's hard to hold the American people culpable. The theft of the election of 2020 and of 2022 was unprecedented, John. More massive on a scale and never before seen, even in the United States. So I agree 100%, and I've reported upon it again and again and again.
So what should ordinary people, ordinary observers like me, I'm just an ordinary observer, what should we do to try to reverse this trend? It seems like there's no way to do it without putting ourselves at risk, since the January 6th fiasco has shown that if we try to be patriotic and defend the Republican principles of the country, we're going to be thrown in jail and accused of insurrection. So what are we to do?
Yeah, John, that's a $64,000 question, as JFK observed. Those who make peaceful reform impossible make violent revolution inevitable. I wish I could tell you we're not heading in that direction, but all the evidence suggests that may be where this ends up, because the Democrats, through their control of the apparatus for elections, are stealing one election after another. What was wonderful about the American system of government enshrined in the Constitution is a potential for reform, periodic election, recall, impeachment, blah, blah. So you can reset the agenda if the ship of state is headed in the right direction. We had massive polling on the order of 80, 85% that American voters believe the country is headed in the wrong direction. That's normally a weather vane as to how a midterm will turn out. And it would have been a massive red wave, what for the manipulation of the outcome by the Democrats, who are destroying the United States in order to retain their own political control. And as long as you have a politicized Department of Justice headed by a zealot like Merrick Garland, who has no respect for the Constitution or the administration of the law in an objective fashion, but is a political zealot for the Democrats, we're in terrible shape, John. I mean, I wish I could give you a more positive outcome, but I think JFK got it right.
Yeah, he did. We're in a situation where people who are genuinely patriotic are at risk because they run counter to the Democrats / bankers / Jews desire to eliminate all independent countries on the planet, eliminate all cash, which means eliminating all freedom. And we're headed down that road. We're very far down that road, and that we need a radical solution to reverse it. And I don't see anybody, certainly not anybody in government, coming up with that assessment of the situation. They're all going along with it, as are most of the American people, preferring to remain asleep, preferring to defend the very inoculations that are killing them. And there's no good way out of this. And I think that my philosophy has been, what do you do when you know somebody is trying to kill you?
Yes, yes. And I think, by the way, this is part and parcel of the fact that Kevin McCarthy isn't just sailing into the speakership. There's a group of 20 Republicans who think we are not doing enough, that the Republican Party is failing the American people, and they're holding out. And right now, I'd say, in terms of the short term, they are our greatest hope. Carrie Lake is going to carry on her case with funding from Mike Lindell, who has been a great patriot, in my opinion. Carrie Lake is our Joan of Arc. I think that case has a potential to expose the shenanigans across the board, and she was dealt with very badly in the court here on her first round with the appeal. We're going to open the lines for callers, 540-352-4452, 540-352-4452, to speak to John Kaminsky and me. Stand by. We'll be right back.
Radio at freedomslips.com, and we'll be right back after this message.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Join Revolution Radio every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job? That Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes? That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building? Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, we'll see if any callers are coming in at 540-352-4455. To among the latest reports, the Polish Army has ordered 70,000 new carbines. That's going to be quite significant. Indication as to what's going on there, because Poland wants to get involved in this event, and I think it's going to be greatly to their detriment. I just had a report about BlackRock wanting to buy up Ukraine, basically, that Zelensky is worried because these Iranian-made drones only cost about $30,000 apiece, while the Patriot missiles, depending on which model, run anywhere from $3 to $6 million apiece. So they're being exhausted, financially and in other ways, but those who want to carve up Ukraine are going to meet, implacable resistance from Russia, which cannot allow that to happen. This suggests that the events in Ukraine are going to go on apace where there is no off-ramp, but the key feature is Russia has the ability to defend itself. John, your thoughts?
I hate to turn this into a Polish joke, but I wonder if Poland remembered to order any ammunition along with those rifles.
I like that.
I'm Polish. Being Polish myself, or perhaps I'm Ukrainian, because I'm from Galicia, the border area there. Or my ancestors are. I'm not. Poland has shown its true colors at the start of the Second World War, and they're showing their true colors again as a totally untrustworthy country at the beginning of World War III.
Yes. Well, Russia has been very kind and gentle to Ukraine. I believe Putin wanted to preserve the infrastructure, didn't want civilians to die needlessly when they came in to communities, and they gave them food rations. The Ukrainians would come in after the Russians pulled out and slaughter them all, especially the Azov Battalion, which is not just a neo-Nazi outfit, but a Nazi outfit. Actually, it may be insulting to the Nazis because they're as brutal as they come, John. This is absolutely stunning stuff, what's going on here. I'd like to give my producer, who has keen interest in all these events, Mitchell, an opportunity to exchange conversation with John Kaminsky. Mitchell, please join the conversation.
Hi, Mitchell.
Mitchell, are you there? We may have been cut off. There's something that happened to my recording now. I was recording the show, of course. And, the network records at Revolution Radio automatically. But I'm not seeing. Mitchell, can you join?
One thing I wanted to say while we're waiting for Mitchell is the Ukraine has the same problem that the United States has. It's owned and operated by a foreign power, and that power is the same, and we know who it is. And whether Russia is also in this boat or not, I don't know, because it seems like Israel has tilted against Russia by increasing its efforts to fund what's going on in Ukraine, and so they may be resentful. I mean, you wouldn't think so because Putin is in the is totally in the hands of Kabod, and it's like the Jewish philosophy over time has been to support all kinds of conflict and fund both sides of each struggle, and thereby profit from the victor, no matter how much it costs the loser. And we see down through history, as far back as you want to go, this is what they do, and this is what they're doing now. They're not, I mean, we abandon our, we meaning the United States, we abandon our efforts in Afghanistan at great cost, to $82 billion to the American taxpayer. That was the money of Americans paid to defend their own country that Joe Biden just threw away in Afghanistan and allowed the Chinese to get hold of most of it. And it's like the Jews have profited from that. They have gained concessions from China, which appears to be in the deep distress itself. But it's like all these countries are owned by the Jewish bankers who control their money, and they are manipulating this war. They are the ones who want this war. They are the ones who produce the vaccine that has killed Todd Callender says 20 million people. David Martin says it's going to be 100 million by 2025. And we just lost the Buffalo Bills defensive back to the vaccine the other night. And this is all the work of Jews, of Israelis, who own the pharmaceutical companies, who have admitted before that Dutch senator, when he asked that fateful question, did you test the vaccine to see if it would reduce transmission? And she said, oh, no, of course we didn't. We were operating at the speed of science. So that rendered the whole COVID fiasco a hoax. And it was propped up by corrupt politicians like Trudeau in Canada and like that lady in New Zealand, Jacinda. And it's like, these people have all been paid off to kill their own citizens, and it's about time the citizens return the favor.
Here, by the way, is another report of a 17-year-old basketball player dies suddenly at home. I mean, I guarantee you, these are all vaxxed as. John Stockton is reporting, thousands of athletes dying is just not getting any publicity. I think Mitchell may be able to join us now. Mitchell, can you join the conversation with John Kaminsky and me, please?
Hey, hi, Jim. Hi, John. How y'all doing?
Hi, Mitchell. Welcome.
The amount of cognitive dissonance that it takes for someone to literally say, I'm going to get a vaccine, and everything can go back to normal, and then they still get sick. And they need more vaccine, and they still get sick. There is a serious disconnect between reality and what people are doing. And it just shows that the psychological operations by governments and agencies have really done a job. People are just so susceptible to suggestion from what they perceive to be an authority that they blindly follow it without question.
Media induced brain damage. Yes. We've lost the ability. This is really a complex thing. It actually goes back to the invention of the electric light. We've lost the ability to, assist in our own survival, to develop strategies for new threats. we're totally powerless against them because we've turned over the operation of our lives to the systems that control us, notably money, but being reliable on electricity, being reliable being part of the crowd. And it's like we can't make our own decisions anymore, except if you really make up your mind that you're not going to be cowed by the opprobrium, the opposition of the people who can't think for themselves. I have a whole family like that. I've had to abandon them all. They all voted for Biden and they've all been jabbed.
You're going to love this story. Republican Jewish coalition head slams GOP infidels voting against McCarthy, threatens consequences. Infidels? That's making it out to be a religious or a theological dispute when it's pure politics. I think the infidels in this case are in the right. But it sure suggests that they want McCarthy in there to maintain the status quo and the political power of the Zionist lobby, which virtually controls the entire Congress of the United States. We've had two callers join us. The first, Paul from California. Paul, join the conversation with me and John Kaminsky.
You know, I thought the best line. Hey, I thought the best line from the first hour was when John said, I believe something like it was his honor or pleasure to be basking in your reflected glory. Was that how that went, John?
That's a famous phrase by somebody. I forget who.
I got to remember to start using that when I get.
When I take the
professor on, as I frequently do. So, Jim, listen to your guest. You introduced him as a brilliant guy, right? And you don't hear your guest going on about, Trump fixed the economy. Trump made us energy independent. Trump helped shut down the border. Trump did this. Trump did that. You don't hear him saying that. And, of course, the reason is it's really not true. He doesn't have the power to do any of those things. And here's the fact of the matter is that he's precisely right on in terms of not being that interested in the technicalities of 9/11. Now, we all know them. I agree with you mostly on your analysis of the technicalities. I've been on board most of the time. But he's precisely correct in talking about it's who is behind it, right? Name the Jew, name the Jew, name the Jew. And all Trump did was basically appoint every Jew in sight that he could into the government to help him. And, of course, you know, significant among them was Wilbur Ross, who is well known to have assisted in, you know, procuring the assistance of the Rothschilds in bailing out, his businesses. So, you know, look, John Kaminsky or Jim Fetzer or me or Dave Scorpio or Giuseppe or any number of other people that you know, Jim, would never go to the Wailing Wall, put on the little beanie and bob back and forth and maybe even kiss it. I don't know if Trump's lips actually touched the Wailing Wall, but it doesn't matter because there's photos of him there with the little beanie on. Performing his duty to his masters. So I want you to get Trump out of your mind, if you could, once and for all. Just flush him down the toilet the way the deep state has and the way the Jews have. And if he runs again and there's rumors he's going to form a third party, just think how successful all the third party candidates have been throughout history and ask yourself, does Trump know this? Should he know this? The answer is yes. He will more than likely ensure that a Democrat is elected, even though they'll probably steal it one way or the other. But even if they don't, the bottom line is Trump is not going anywhere politically anymore. All right. Thanks for letting me rant, Jim.
Yeah, I always welcome your rants, Paul. You add a lot of diversity to the show, whether or not I'm going to, you know, bend to your wishes, as it were, is a whole other matter. We have Scott from San Diego here. Scott, join the conversation with Paul, John Kaminsky, and me. Scott.
Hey, guys. Hey, thanks for taking my call, Jim. Yeah, you were talking earlier about the vaccine, you know. It's been my opinion for many years that the only reason that there's a flu season is because that's when the vaccine comes out.
Yeah,
They are created at the same time. The vaccines and the flu are created at the same time by the CDC.
No, I'm so what I'm saying is the vaccine causes the outbreak. Because what you got is you got people that go and get the shot and they get sick anyway. And actually the shot makes you sick. 9 times out of 10. What does somebody say? Oh, I got the shot and I got sick. So what happens is they don't get sick enough to stay home and they feel better well enough to go out about. So what they're doing is they're shedding and they're spreading the virus.
Well,
you see what I'm saying?
As John mentioned early on, they didn't even test for its inhibition of transmission. In other words, we were sold a bag of garbage about the vax from the beginning. And of course, they had done enough tests and it was killing people right and left. It was making women have spontaneous abortions. It was inducing infertility and sterility, which were exactly the objectives they wanted to achieve. John.
Well, I want to go back to Paul. I didn't get a chance to answer him. I completely agree with Paul that Trump is irrelevant. He's always been irrelevant. However, there is no candidate put forth as realistic who is not under the sway of the international Jewish bankers. None. I would like to think Thomas Massey might be, but I plugged him too many times, so I don't really know. But we are completely lost as a society because the power of the media has attached itself to all the minds. These stories that the New York Times put out earlier in the year about the Revolutionary War meant to enslave blacks and all of the other deliberately false stories they put forth that the American people now believe have rendered not only any candidate free of the Jews to emerge, but anybody in the American electorate to vote for a candidate who was not approved by the Jews. I mean, the trance has advanced that far so that there's just a small percentage of people like us that I would say are still less than 10% of the American population who are capable of electing a candidate who could free us from this Jewish tyranny that has been had us locked down at least since 1913 when they took control of the money supply. The first thing that has to happen to free us from that is we have to be freed from the Federal Reserve. And there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. If that doesn't happen, we're not going to be free, and Klaus Schwab is going to get his wish, and we're going to lose our freedom completely when they go to completely plastic money. That'll be the end of it.
Well, you want to pick up? Go ahead.
Yeah, I second that, and I would add at least one other and probably two other legs to that Federal Reserve stool. And the second leg, of course, would be the media. We cannot allow these people to continue to control the public mind, and that's what they've done now for at least 100 or more years. Henry Ford pointed it out. That's why he had to form his own newspaper to publish his own articles. And the fact of the matter is that is, in my opinion, besides the money, that is the most powerful and corrosive influence on the public mind. Nobody would believe so much of this Jew nonsense. And that's really what they give us all the time. They give us complete blather and drivel, whether it's politics or medicine, and in many cases, even so-called science. They completely lie to us and deceive us constantly. And we're nothing but victims to their informational tyranny, and that has to end. Period.
My television has been in the closet for about 3 years now, and I get my football news on YouTube because I can watch a game in like 10 minutes, and that's how I've cured my addiction to that. But it's like until we're free of all of these really obscene entertainments that they inveigle us with, we're not going to have the intellectual capacity to understand how we're being deceived and what we have to do to avoid it.
Scott, you want to add some thoughts?
Yeah, go ahead.
Go, Scott. Yeah, I really, you know, I'm just disillusioned with the whole government system. It's amazing how these people have gotten us to believe that our system is so fragile that you know, anything can upset the balance. You know, if you don't elect this person, and everything will fall apart. If you don't elect this person, it's just you know, these people have managed to make themselves more important in our lives than they really should be.
True.
And then I'll add to that, Scott, since you mentioned the government and politics, as I've made this point many, many times on the air, the whole system is designed to deliberately thwart the will of the people, okay? Yep. We don't have any influence at all, and especially our vote. And as long as these people have these bureaucracies and corporations set up to get in our way, right, as well as the judiciary, I never tire of mentioning out here in California Proposition 87 that was passed with nearly 65% of the vote. And if you do the math on that, right, 65 and 35, it's nearly double, okay? So 65% of the people in California voted to deny public benefits to illegal aliens, and one single female Jewish judge reversed that. So what kind of system is that we're under, that we're supposed to pay attention to a governor or a legislature or anything else? It's all ridiculous Jewish blather.
Jim, I think you have the answer to that.
Namely, you mean JFK's observation? I mean, you know, I want Paul to tell us. I think Paul believes we have to go to the mattresses, if I read him right. Paul.
Well, look at what happened to you, Jim. I mean, look at what happened to you in our court system, okay? When you said on the air, I don't know how long ago it was now, maybe 2 years or something, when you said truth is the ultimate defense, I remember shaking my head and going, oh, boy, poor Jim's going to find out the hard way.
Yes.
We live in a world of lies. I mean, this is the one thing John Kaminsky and so many others have done throughout their quote-unquote career, pointing out the fact that everything that we see is essentially a construct by our Jewish masters. Let's face it. I mean, they're on top. Okay, they won World War II. They've won all the financial wars. They win all the media and the information war. They got people to line up. I saw the lines myself. They got people to line up to get a test for a non-existent virus, and they got people to line up to get a shot that they never tested, and that you know and I know they had planned for years to inject people with poison. They got people waiting in line and happy to do it. So this is, you know, this is only going to end one way, in my opinion. I've been saying that for a long time.
And well, just the very name of government. I mean, what is to govern? It means to retard, to slow down, to hold back.
Yep, well said.
And that's all they do.
Mitchell, you're welcome to join in again, by the way, my friend. I think Brian probably agrees with Paul about, Scott probably agrees with Paul about the solution, that we don't have a real one, that we're forced to take up arms to overthrow the tyranny that has enveloped us. Is that your stance, Scott?
Well, that's a catch-22 because it's exactly what they want.
So what is your take on what can be done?
I think we're fucked either way.
Okay. Yeah, well, so you know what? Then comes the old saying about you know, standing on your feet versus on your knees, right? We all know that saying, right? I'd rather die on my feet than live on my knees or something like that. So, I mean, if we're screwed either way, then what the heck, right? But, you know, most people are going to choose comfort, right, and perceived safety. And as long as they keep just enough food in the stores, right, and just enough entertainment on the television, and just enough paycheck to get you by, this is their formula, and they're going to continue this for a long time. I really do think that, you know, these notions they keep floating about the economic collapse and the food crisis and the shortages, I think that's a lot of fear propaganda. I'm not saying that there aren't going to be degrees of it, but I think they very well know that bad things happen when things get really bad. and bad things happens to them. They know history as well as we do. So this is the insidiousness of these people. They know not to let things get too bad because the internet has raised a lot of awareness about who these people are.
John.
These people?
Paul's not reluctant to identify them, all right? So, yeah.
These people, we know who they are. And my solution, I first advocated in 2014, was we need to go in and tear them out of their offices and tear their limbs off. And we wouldn't have to do it to too many people before people would start resigning and confessing.
Tell us what you really think, John.
I think there's probably no alternative to that. There never has
I agree, and as long as a volcano is involved somehow, then I'd be happy.
A volcano. Scott, you have a further thought? Then I want Mitchell to come back in. Go ahead, Scott.
Yeah, Scott dropped a second ago, Jim.
Okay, well, Mitchell,
It's as tough as a stand as it is right now, it's going to be even tougher later because they're consolidating power.
The longer we wait.
Yeah. So, you know.
It should have happened a long time ago. It should have happened after 9/11 and everybody backed off.
Well, that's why I believe a third party is the only answer to just driving home, split the party system. You can't join the monopoly. That's what Trump did.
It's not going to work. It has to be a Hitler-type dictatorship. Somebody's got to take the lead, enforce the law. Everybody's going to endorse it, get on the same page, and pull together and take the money away from the Jews. That's the first step. Don't ask me how to do it. I can't keep any money myself at all.
Hey, John, I can't thank you enough. Mitchell, Paul, thank you for calling in. Scott, too. We've run out of time, but John, it's just been a great pleasure having you here, my friend. Thank you, Jim. Rip.
Thank you, guys. That was great, too.
Thanks, Jeff.
Revolution Radio.
Enter into a world unseen on Raven Star's Witching Hour. You will encounter eclectic topics from the realm of spirit brought into our matrix of truth. With your host, the Solaris Blue Raven, Solaris will bring you an array of unique guests covering topics from ghostly spirits to amazing anomalies, covert technology, UFOs, and shadowy global events.
And that's right here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, Saturdays, midnight till 2 a.m. Eastern Time. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Let the magic rise.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
We did not engage in conflict that was out of line with our mission.
Is it disloyal? Is it sedition? Is it treason to oppose the hand of tyranny? Never!
I will never send troops anywhere on a mission of that kind without telling them that if somebody shoots at them, they can darn well shoot back.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me,
give me liberty! Oh, give me death!
A dark cloud is finally lifting across the world as U.S. military intelligence